welcome to South Sudan in Focus on the Voice of America. I'm John Tanza on this pre-recorded program via remote from Washington. Happy July 9th, Independence Day. Here are some of the stories we are covering today, Thursday, July 9th, 2020. President Kiir calls for peace on the 9th anniversary of South Sudan's independence.
Let us all work tirelessly, irrespective of our political leanings, to restore trust among ourselves, the social fabric that was torn apart by the war we are now and putting behind us.
And church leaders in Kajokeji County are calling for help.
People are forced because the situation is really very worrying. You cannot imagine somebody who is actually to feed his children and to take care of education.
We'll have these stories and more coming up on South Sudan in Focus. South Sudan is marking its 9th birthday, and President Salva Kiir is using the occasion to call on South Sudanese to work for peace and mend social fabric torn apart by war. In a speech broadcast on state television on Wednesday night, Mr. Kiir called on South Sudanese to desist from unnecessary propaganda that may derail peace. The president says the country is threatened by intercommunal violence and his government has started disarmament exercise to get rid of arms in the hands of civilians. For VOA News, Manyang David Mayer reports from Juba.
President Kiir says while a ceasefire is holding, the country is threatened by the rising number of intercommunal conflicts in several areas.
The phase of political violence is now behind us. Unfortunately, our success in ending political violence is now threatened by a different sort of violence, intercommunal conflict that is raging in different parts of our country. As the government, we will not allow this new threat to reverse our gains. We shall pursue multi-layered approach to resolve this problem once and for all.
As part of that multi-layered approach, President Kiir says his government will initiate intercommunal dialogue, strengthen the rule of law and order, and take away civilians' guns in a full-scale disarmament campaign across the country. He called on traditional chiefs to help the government conduct a peaceful disarmament exercise, which already started in Warabi State.
For those who will not heed this call, the government will be left with no option than to forcibly remove these weapons from their hands. The government hopes this will not be the case, and that it shall not be compelled to resort to the use of force on its quest to retake these illegally acquired weapons.
On implementing the 2018 revitalized peace agreement, Kiir says he is aware of the slow progress that is being made and urge partners in the unity government to work together to resolve remaining issues.
It is critical that we the parties to the agreement, desist from adopting uncompromising positions in the hope that the mediation will eventually back them. We must move away from such attitudes because the peace we seek to consolidate is our own peace as South Sudanese.
The transitional government of national unity was formed in February, but it took the former warring parties until June to nominate the state's governors. The president called on South Sudanese to work together to restore peace in the country.
Let us all work tirelessly, irrespective of our political leanings, to restore trust among ourselves, the social fabric that was torn apart by the war we are now and putting behind us. Let us all desist from propaganda and instead work together as South Sudanese to put our country permanently on the path of peace.
Kiir also touched on the country's deteriorating economy, saying the coronavirus pandemic has hit the country's oil sector hard, which accounts for over 95% of South Sudan's revenue.
The pandemic has depressed oil prices, and we have been unable to compensate for the shortfall in oil revenue with non-oil revenue. Even without oil revenue, we know that non-oil revenues, if collected and fully remitted to the national treasury, can enable us to meet easy government expenditure such as wages and operations. Unfortunately, this has not been the case.
Kiir says very little money has been collected by government agencies so far. He says the transitional government is exploring ways to ensure that non-oil revenue collection is more effective so that the government can pay salaries of civil servants on time. For VOA News, I'm Anyang David Mayar in Juba.
The Bishop of Kajukeji Diocese in the Episcopal Church of South Sudan is calling on aid agencies to help tens of thousands of people who have returned from refugee camps in neighboring Uganda over the past few months. Bishop Emmanuel Murie Moody says, despite restrictions on cross-border movements due to COVID-19 pandemic, South Sudanese who took refuge in Uganda are returning to South Sudan because aid agencies have cut food ration in refugee camps. Modi says an estimated 45,000 families have returned to Kajukeji since February this year. For VOA News, Dimo Silva Aurelio reports from Juba.
Bishop Emmanuel Murie Moody says some 150,000 former refugees have returned to Kajukeji since South Sudan's former warring party signed a peace deal in 2018. Of that amount, Bishop Murray says about 45,000 people voluntarily returned to Kajukeji since February due to increasingly difficult conditions in the Ugandan refugee camps.
People are forced because mainly, especially in the border towards Kajukeji, people are forced because the situation is really very worrying. You cannot imagine somebody who is actually to feed his children and to take care of education, although they say there is education in the refugee camp, it's not even up to the standard. And then they're asked to give something little to buy books. And then yet the food is reduced. And Nolan, you know, they were claiming that there is Nolan given. Even here, the land they have to pay the land. Individual families have to pay the land. So those who are even poor, who don't have any source of income, they cannot get the land. So these are the situations that will force people.
There are about 60,000 returnees in Liwolo Payam, 50,000 in Kangapo Payam, 30,000 in Lire Payam, and 12,000 in Ngepo Payam, and many more are expected to return because they don't have to eat, according to Bishop Modi.
Number one is the issue of the food. People have removed all the old cassava which had been there for the last 2 to 3 years. And there, when they thought of, because the food here in the refugee is even meager, even this time when they got the food, it is reduced even to 6 kilos per a person. You know, so they travel there so that they dig for themselves, and there is no more food in the bush.
Returnees also need medical attention because there is no hospital in Kajukeji, said Modi.
The entire Kajukeji has no place to refer. You know, people used to be referred to Moyo, but now it is very difficult. They cannot allow even a sick person, even if he died, cannot cross to Moyo. And remember, how somebody can be taken from Kajukeji up to Juba and the road is not good. Mainly if somebody wants to give, if want to deliver.
Julia Raffaele, the UNHCR spokesperson in Juba, says her agency is aware of the spontaneous returns, but says the security situation in South Sudan makes it unsafe for returnees, especially during the COVID-19 pandemic.
UNHCR and partners are looking at the situation in Kajukeji as they are also continuing to monitor new spontaneous refugee returns and internally displaced person movements. conditions are not yet conducive to support safe and sustainable returns of refugees. This is why UNHCR is maintaining its non-return advisory policy. This is even more critical now in the face of the COVID-19 pandemic, as water, sanitation and hygiene services might be less accessible and physical distancing can be extremely difficult to observe while the people are on the move.
Rafael advises refugees not to risk traveling during the pandemic when aid workers find it difficult to respond to their needs.
This is particularly critical as the impact of fighting couples with a global health emergency such as the COVID-19 one. While restriction of movement due to the effort to limit the spread of the disease risk to hinder aid delivery as well.
Rafael says UNHCR will respond to the best of its capacity by providing temporary shelter emergency assistance to the most vulnerable returnees. Since 2017, more than 200,000 refugees have voluntarily returned to South Sudan, with some 60,000 returning to Central Equatorial State alone, according to UNHCR. For VOA News, I am Dimo Silva Aurelio in Juba.
The Ugandan People's Defense Force has opened up military posts in Lamwo District at the border with South Sudan following resurgence of cattle raids and looting by armed South Sudanese. The South Sudan government has pledged to stop its troops from entering and destabilizing Ugandans. For VOA News, Catherine Nambi reports from Kampala.
Ugandans have reported an increase in intrusions by armed South Sudan gunmen who use porous border crossings to terrorize residents and snatch their property, money and livestock. Major David Opera is the UPDF West Nile Brigade Commander.
The locals in this place re-emphasized what they went through in terms of disturbance by armed men who come from South Sudan.
There have been numerous gunfire exchanges between Ugandan soldiers and the South Sudanese, which have resulted in deaths and casualties. Opera says the two governments have agreed on joint border patrols to tackle the criminal elements.
Now we have joined up with the South Sudan leadership. We have got to enhance liaison from both sides. We have identified the key people whom we are going to work with from the other side, because we realized there was a communication gap in the sense that the commanders the other end were reluctant to work with us this side. Now there is going to be more information flowing in. Whenever armed people are coming in, we should be able to come in quickly. But our emphasis is in peaceful resolution of this mess which is here.
South Sudan military attache to Uganda, Brigadier General Tik Bol Gir, has been on a fact-finding mission in Uganda regarding the complaints. He said his government will recover and return the stolen property, money and livestock once investigations are complete. The general also noted that the South Sudan government will fight to minimize illegal crossing of armed men into Uganda.
I promise you, by all means, they are going to stop coming here. We have three movements here. There is the government forces, there is IO, who was fighting the government, there is still resisting force now of RAS, NAS. They are still at large in your border here. So we don't know who is really disturbing. Is it our people, soldiers, or from these rebels? If it is from our soldiers, we are going to deal with them. Advise the people to remain calm.
Statistics indicate about 130 cattle have been looted from Ugandans in the Lamwo border district alone since January. A number of Ugandans have abandoned their farms and businesses at the border in fear of the attacks. Leaders from South Sudan and Uganda have asked residents to report such incidents quickly so they are dealt with immediately. This is Catherine Nambi for VOA News in Kampala.
You are listening to South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America. Coming up, bar owners in Juba are up in arms. Find out why after this break.
What do you think? People speak out on important questions. The question today:
what is your golden rule in life? My golden rule is never to give up, no matter what, whether it's on family challenges, money problems, work related, I just never give up.
Golden rule. No, I don't allow men to play with my life. That is my golden rule. And I don't allow anyone to talk ill about my parents and my family.
Put God first, because in everything you need God. And as you know, the fearing of God is the beginning of knowledge.
Not to lie, I always want to base my living, everything I do, my speaking, my saying, in facts and truth.
What do you think? A daily discussion of important questions from VOA.
This is a message in the public interest from VOA Africa.
Hello, I'm VOA health correspondent Linor Modou. The World Health Organization and Africa Centers for Disease Control say we all can help fight the global pandemic by frequently washing our hands or using hand sanitizers. For more information on protecting yourself and others, check with reliable sources such as the WHO and Africa CDC. And remember to listen to VOA for the latest on COVID-19.
That was a message in the public interest from VOA Africa.
You are listening to South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America. In Western Cameroon, hundreds of single mothers protested this week against the cultural practice of forced marriage. The women whose parents forced them to early marriage called on authorities to help end the practice, saying it too often ends in broken families. For VOA News, Muki Edwin Kinzika reports from Yaoundé.
20-year-old single mother Metombem Aisha has been leading protests against the forced marriage of teenage girls in Western Cameroon. Around the towns of Fumbot and Fumban, parents often force their girls to marry early, believing that tying the knot after the age of 14 brings the family bad luck. Aisha says their protest at local palaces and in public urged Cameroonian authorities to put a stop to the cultural practice.
On nous force de se marier à 14 ans. Et quand
Aisha says most of the 300 people protesting were 14 years old when they were forced to marry men they did not know. She says some single mothers among the protesters decided to leave their homes with their babies after their husbands brought home other wives. Parents should allow young girls to choose their husbands, says Aisha, to stop the pain that forced marriages are inflicting. Aisha formed the group Noon Sisters to support single mothers who leave these marriages and to push for an end to the tradition practiced among Cameroon's Muslims and in villages. The group says the girls should be allowed to go to school. The protests were sparked when a widowed 17-year-old mother was last week being forced to marry her dead husband's brother. The marriage was called off after the demonstrations. But local officials say they should protect cultural practices of their forefathers, including forced early marriage. Fumbot Palace official Usmanu Mifiru says early marriage ensures that girls are married with their dignity as virgins. According to cultural norms, if a girl is a virgin, the groom's family gives her family more gifts as a so-called bride price. Her parents are also praised as modern members of the community. Mephiru says that tradition holds firm that a girl has no say on whom her husband should be. He says when a girl is 14, her father contacts the parents of a potential husband and they discuss the possibility and date for the marriage. Tradition also holds that a man who sees a girl he wants to marry should inform his parents, says Mifiru, not the girl. But Cameroon's district-level officials say they oppose forced early marriage. Fumban district official Julian Gael Konu says the government is bent on eradicating such harmful traditions.
He says forced marriages are rampant all over Cameroon, but more concerning in the west of the country. He says in these mainly Muslim communities, there are misconceptions that boys should make their choices while girls stay at home to prepare for early marriage, since they are finding it difficult to convince people that boys and girls should be treated equally, says Kono, they will start punishing those who abuse their rights. Cameroonian authorities say 6 out of 10 girls in these communities are forced to marry before the age of 16. Last year, Cameroon's National Institute of Statistics, citing the UN, said nearly one-third of girls were married before their 18th birthday. But in 8 out of 10 of the forced marriages, the wives end up leaving their husbands before turning 18. Moki Edwin Kinzuka for VOA News, Yaoundé.
Bar owners in South Sudan say fears arising from the coronavirus has killed their businesses. Simon Tekele operates a bar in Juba. He says many of his potential customers are drinking at home as they try to avoid catching the coronavirus. Reporter Manyang David Mayar visited some bars in Juba over the weekend to see how bar owners are struggling to stay in business.
Loud music blasts at the Samar bar as a handful of customers drink beer and whiskey. Samar manager Solomon Tekle says his place used to be full, but now he gets 2 or 3 customers a night.
Most people, they want to protect themselves at lockdown home. So even if the bar is working, people, they cannot come because they fear the disease, the virus. So as I say, the business of the bar is not like before, it's completely down. Everybody can see.
In March, the former high-level task force for COVID-19 announced several measures to prevent the spread of the virus, including closing down all bars, schools, churches, and shops selling non-essential items. In May, the task force eased some restrictions, including allowing bars to reopen. But bar and nightclub owners say people are not coming out because they are afraid of contracting the coronavirus. Buliak, who owns a bar in Juba's Shirkat neighborhood, says he is operating at loss and worries about the future of his business.
As my business is slowing down, the landlord is not slowing down. He's demanding me, he's telling me, you have to bring my money at the end of the month. Where will I get that money to pay the rent? So if it continues like this, I'm really worried.
Yak says he used to see more than 50 customers on weekends and make the equivalent of about $15 a day. Yak says these days he hardly earns 1,000 South Sudanese pounds. Nightclubs also say the same is true for their business. Lucky owner of the South Sudan Artists Union, which runs the signature nightclub at Juba's Nyakrun Cultural Center, says since the government suspended public gathering, they have not been able to reopen for business.
It's been a very hard time for us now, as we, the Artists Union, and as the artists of the Republic of South Sudan. It is becoming too hard for us to survive Zato due to coronavirus. Some people got kids. Some other people, they got families. Some other people, they got something to do. They got rent. And they cannot manage to pay the bill. Because concerts are where our money come from.
Onar says the Artists Union's main source of livelihood largely depends on bars and nightclubs operating at full capacity. Nyambura Kenyi, Secretary General of the South Sudan Artists Union, is urging the government to support nightclubs and other youth entertainment centers.
Nightclubs actually are not working currently now, and from now we still urge the government that they see the issue of the artists, because even we go to humanitarian affairs, we are not getting any food. So people are relying on the music to get to feed their family and to do other things that they want to do, rents and all those things.
Proprietors of bars located inside well-known hotels, including Dembech, Palm Africa and Afex, say they are also struggling to recover after the lockdown. None of the hotel bar managers agreed to be recorded, But a spot check at various Juba hotels' bars revealed no more than two or three customers. Some Juba residents say they are now staying away from bars and nightclubs because they do not have money to spend. Resident James Owar says he used to visit a bar and drink with friends, but not anymore.
I feel suffering because the money we are getting, we need support for you to buy something like alcohol. That's the only consumer at home with their children. Going to bar will be a problem because of the money.
As of last Sunday, South Sudan health officials recorded 2,093 confirmed cases of COVID-19, 649 people who recovered, and 40 deaths. For VOA News, I'm Anyang David Mayar in Juba.
That's our show for this Thursday. We now leave you with the song Mogbita Sudanin Fata by Ras Corby.
Aiwa, Makum original Ras Corby. Mogbita Sudanin Fata. Uyun Bita Sudanin Fata. Mogbita Nutuan Kaman Fata. Uyun Bita Shabab Fata. Okani Bakum.
Listening to Ras Corby with the song Mogbita Sudanin Fata. I'm John Tanza in Washington. Thanks for joining us this evening. Remember to always wash your hands with soap, practice social distancing, and do not escape from COVID-19 quarantine centers because there is no cure for coronavirus. Join us again tomorrow evening for another edition of South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America.
Fata, the moon, the Sudanese fata, the young Sudanese.